Somebody asked me a little while ago, what can I possibly talk about tonight as we look forward to Shabbos HaGadol, as we find ourselves literally 1 week away from Zman Chirusenu, from the Leil HaSeder Mi'at Hashem, and in a short week from now, we hope and pray we'll all be able to be Zocha, to sit around our Seder tables, and to be able to celebrate, and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the wonderful Yom Alein Latova. But of course, notwithstanding that excitement in the air and the anticipation of the Yom Tov Pesach, of course, there is so much sorrow and fear and trepidation in our hearts and just on the air around us. So it's very difficult, and I think the question is very justified. What can we possibly talk about? What can we possibly say? And I think that the answer is that we have to say, as a Jewish response has always been, we have to say, Shabbos HaGadol drasha. And people have to hear divrei Torah, people have to hear divrei chizuk, divrei sairas, and people have to use any and every opportunity to be exposed to limud haTorah, to shmiras haMitzvahs, to amunah b'Hashem, to avodas Hashem, even in this darkest time. So in a certain sense, we are being called in our generation to follow in the footsteps of those who came before us, who understood that with all the difficulties and all the sorrow around us, so it's still almost Shabbos HaGadol, and therefore, it behooves us to, at least for a few moments, to almost, in a certain sense, like block everything else around us, and focus on what are some of the things we should be thinking about at this auspicious time of the year. So hopefully, everyone received the Maimakomas. They were sent out an email a little while ago from the shul, so we'll hopefully have them in front of you. If we had to pinpoint a time in our history where, in a certain sense, the tide turned, that the events of Shibud Mitzrayim, the exile of Mitzrayim and slavery of our forefathers in Egypt, began to turn for the better, and although the Geula, the redemption of Mitzrayim, was not quite complete, nevertheless, we could already get a sense that we had almost turned the corner. And I think the pasuk that would really describe this is the very beginning of Parshas Va'era, because if you remember back to the very end of Parshas Shmos, Parsha Shmos ends on a very, very low point. That although HaKadosh Baruch Hu had instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to come to the Jewish people, and to come to Paro and demand their release, and Moshe did so, and basically the plan, at least initially, backfired. Not only were the Jews not free, but actually they were enslaved even harder, and the decrees of Paro became even harsher and stricter. And even Moshe Rabbeinu threw his hands up in desperation and turns to Kadosh Baruch Hu at the very end of Parshas Shmos and says, why did you send me? Not only have I not succeeded, I've made matters worse. Lama zeh shlachtani? And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, things are going to change, and they're going to change very, very quickly. And Parshas Shmos comes to an end, and Parshas Va'era begins, and this is where the change begins. And if you take a look at the opening, the first of the Marmakomos, the second pasuk actually in the Parsha, in Shmos Pregvah Pasuk Gimel Vayirol Avraham Vel Yitzchok Vel Yaakov Bekel Shakai Ushmi Hashem Lo Nodati Lohem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I have appeared to Avraham Yitzchok Vel Yaakov by using certain names, Kel Shakai, but my real name, the name Hashem, of course we can't even pronounce that name, even when we make a bracha, we don't actually say the name of Hashem, we say Hashem, But of course, it is spelled in the Chumash Yud Ke Vav Ke, something that we do not even know how to pronounce. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Ushmi Hashem Lo Nodati Lohem. I am not known, or I have not told, different interpretations of the Mefarshim, precisely what the phrase means, but the bottom line is the same, that there is something new that is taking place in this parasha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in a sense introducing himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, with the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, what we refer to as the Shem Havaya, and it's that name that's going to be the name that's going to carry the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the question is, what in the world does that mean for us? obviously speaking about the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something which is so mystical and so esoteric, we can't even begin to contemplate, but Torah Hi Ulam Da Nitzorech, it is part of the Torah, and we have to learn how it speaks to us as well. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu mean when it says, Shmi Hashem Lo Nadati Lahem? What is that Shem Hashem all about? To make matters even more challenging, we take a look at the second of the sources, in Devarim Perek Kaf Ches Pasuk Tes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Yikimcha Hashem Lo'eliyam Kadosh B'Shemeinu, speak in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say that Hashem will make you into a holy nation, Kashem Yishbalach, as He promised to you. Kisishmaris Mitzvos Hashem Alekech, as long as you observe His mitzvos. And the Pasuk concludes with the phrase, V'halachta B'Derachav. You are supposed to follow in the footsteps of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are supposed to act in a divine manner. Chazal already were perturbed with that phrase. What does that mean? V'halachta B'Derachav. How in the world can I emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How can I walk in the footsteps of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Bari Yoyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech Machi Amlochim. I, as a mere mortal, a mere human being, how can I even dream of V'halachta B'Derachav, following the footsteps of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What do the words even mean? And yet Chazal tell us that's exactly what it means. V'halachta B'Derachav, we are supposed to look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a role model and emulate Him. And the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts in this world, we are supposed to act as well. This is in fact the source, one of the sources for the whole institution of Chesed. Being Gomel Chesed means to follow the footsteps of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To act in a kind, in a forgiving manner, mahu chanu nafatachanu, mahu racham atavarachum, to act in a kind and compassionate manner to our fellow man is also emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I want to raise the bar a little bit, I want to raise a challenge. V'halachta B'Derachav, that we are commanded, we are instructed, we are required to follow in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's footsteps, and if I may be so bold as to suggest, if Yudkei Vavkei, if that is the shame that describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the name that sets the pace, sets the tone for Yetzias Mitzrayim, it is to that name of Yudkei Vavkei that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take us out of Mitzrayim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, V'halachta B'Derachav, that means we are supposed to understand in our limited way what that name means, and we are supposed to emulate it in our own lives. We are supposed to act in the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yudkei Vavkei, acts. We are supposed to act as well. What in the world does that mean? How would we even know? We begin to get a glimpse of what the Shem Hashem means, and what does that mean practically for us? So I'd like to suggest, perhaps, that there are three different lessons that we could derive from the significance of the name Yudkei Vavkei, and each one of them speaks to us in general terms, speaks to us in very specific terms, considering the Yom Tov Pesach, and particularly the Pesach that we're about to embark upon, the very unique Pesach of Tavshin Pei. There are three different aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we can derive from His name of Yudkei Vavkei, and in our most limited human way possible, we are commanded to incorporate these three aspects into our very lives. The way the Shem Hashem, the way the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is spelled, Yudkei Vavkei, literally just in the most simplest, most basic, fundamental understanding, is almost, so to speak, a combination of three words. Grammatically, we do not even know how to pronounce this name. The nekudos don't fit the vowels, what we call the dots, don't fit into our regular way of pronouncing things. But it seems that it's almost a combination of three different words. The word Hoya, Hove, V'yiyah. If you look at that word, Yudkei Vavkei, you'll see almost a conglomeration of three different words. Hoya meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in the past. Hove means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the present. And Yiyah means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be in the future. And in a certain sense, that describes the very essence of what Hashem is all about. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond and above all constraints of time, something that we as human beings cannot even begin to fathom. We are bound by the limitations of time, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu created time, and He is above time, and therefore He is not limited by time, and therefore from the vantage point of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the world was, is, and will be all at once. Again, a concept that we cannot even begin to understand or fathom. But yet, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, is, and will be, each and every one of us has to incorporate those three aspects into our lives, into our thinking. We have to live our lives in the past, Hoya. We have to live our lives in the present, Hove. And we have to live our lives in the future of Yiyah. What does that mean? And what does it have to do with the Yom Tov of Pesach? So let's take a look at the third of the Mamakomos. But the Torah tells us in Parshas Hazinu, a charge to what our perspective on the world is supposed to be. Zichor Yemos Olam Binu Shnos Dor V'Dor. Moshe Rabbeinu calls out to the Jewish people and says, remember days of old. Remember generations gone by. She'alavicha v'yagedcha zekenecha v'yemulach. Ask your parents, ask your grandparents, ask your elders, ask your rabbeim, ask those who came before you, who have a little bit of a better perspective on history in general, Jewish history in particular, and ask them, and you will derive tremendous strength and inspiration from looking to those who came before you. Whether we turn to our biological parents, whether we turn to our spiritual parents, our rabbonim, our rabbeim, whether we look to those who perhaps can help us in a perspective based on history, Zichor Yemos Olam. And just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks to the past, and just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a certain sense lives in the past, we take the past with the utmost seriousness. That we live in a certain sense in the past is a reality for us. Our history is not just something in the dustbins of history textbook, but it is something real and alive. What greater demonstration of this is there than the Leil HaSeder, where Jewish people gather around their Seder table, and of course, traditionally, it's a time that generations connect. Unfortunately, very difficult for many this year, that literal physical connection may not be present in the fullest way as it has in the past. Mitzvah will continue in the future. But even if it's not there physically, and even if perhaps we may not have every single member around the table that we would have loved to share the experience of Pesach night with, we can definitely connect in a spiritual vein, definitely connect with those who are older than us, those who came before us, those who are living in this world now, and even with those who have passed on to the next world. By emulating, by following, by looking to them, by observing our Pesach Seder and instilling those traditions in our children, we are very much keeping the past alive. And the past goes back quite some time, goes back over 3,000 years. A Jew sits down to the Seder table and is following HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's a Hoya. He is not sitting at a table in Bergenfield, New Jersey, but rather he is sitting in Mitzrayim as getting ready, getting his family ready, getting the last bags packed and ready to go, to embark, to leave Mitzrayim, to embark on a journey of Jewish history that is still going until this very day. That's the mindset of a Jew who is a Hoya, who is someone who understands and appreciates the power and the strength and the inspiration of the past. But just as the Kaddish Baruch Hu does not only live in the past, Kaddish Baruch Hu is simultaneously a Hove. He looks at the present and he views the world through the prism of the present. We are obligated also to very much live today. Some people get so caught up in the past that they do not realize that the world is unfolding in the present, and we are required to stop and to now take the past and infuse the present with the power of the past. And that's exactly what takes place on Pesach night. One of the most remarkable statements that we make at the Leil HaSeder, it's towards the very end of Magid, and sometimes we may be rushing already, maybe we're getting hungry already, we're trying to get the things ready in the kitchen perhaps. And it would behoove us to stop for a minute and to listen to these words. We say them at the Agoda. We're going to quote them now from the Rambam. How the Rambam paraphrases the phrase that we say in the fourth of the Mamakomos. Bechol dor vador, in each and every generation, Chayev Adam Laharos as Atzmo, Kilo Baatzmo, Yotza Atta Mishibud Mitzrayim. In each and every generation, a person is obligated, and here the Rambam says, to demonstrate. Laharos means to demonstrate. There are actually two different versions of this Maimon Chazal. One is Liros as Atzmo, which means to envision oneself. One is Laharos, which means to demonstrate. And it's not a machlokas, it's not a disagreement. They're both true. We do both. Pesach night is a time of great deep thought. A person should sit back and close his eyes and think about Yetzias Mitzrayim and contemplate and focus. When one is eating the matzah, it is not the time to comment on whether this year's matzah is more burnt than last year's matzah was. It is the time to close our eyes, either literally or figuratively, and to contemplate on what we are doing, sitting together with our loved ones, sitting together at the Seder, and again, although the Seder may be slightly different than some Seder of the past, we are both physically and spiritually connecting with not only our loved ones, but all the Jewish people, b'chol makom shehem, as Acheinu b'nei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, sit down and eat their matzah, Acheinu b'nei Yisrael in Europe eat their matzah, Acheinu b'nei Yisrael throughout America and the rest of the Golos, sit and eat the matzah. We all sit together and we all connect together through bonds that go way, way, way past those who are physically sitting around the table with us. And b'chol dor v'dor, just as Aviseinu, each and every person and family and whatever shape or form that may mean this year, sat in their homes, partaking of their matzah and their maror, their Korban Pesach, and awaiting a Kodesh Baruch Hu's salvation that was so soon to come. B'chol dor v'dor chayav adam, we are obligated to put ourselves into that mindset as well. And the Rambam says it, kilu b'atzmo yotza ato, as if we left now, not as if we left 3,000 years ago. Pesach is not a history book. Pesach is current events. We are leaving Mitzrayim, shenema v'yosonu hotzi misham, v'yaldov hazeh tziva kodesh baruch v'torah, and this is what the Kodesh Baruch has commanded us. This is not just a nice thing. This is not just a little maisalach. This is not just, you know, a cute hiddur mitzvah. This is a chi of gomah. This is an absolute Torah obligation. V'yaldov hazeh tziva kodesh baruch v'torah v'zachar t'kiyev adhisa b'kiloymar ki'ilu atta bi'atzmecho ha'yisa ever v'yitzos l'cheiris v'nefteisa. This is a Torah requirement incumbent upon all to the night of Pesach, to view oneself as of one left Mitzrayim. I didn't say it was an easy mitzvah, but that's the essence of the Lel HaSeder. Lefikach, the Rambam says, because of this requirement, therefore Chazal assisted us and set up parameters as to how to make this more real for us. And many of the practices that we're so familiar with in the Lel HaSeder are actually part of this mitzvah. Lefikach, says the Rambam in Halacha Zayin, Kishasoid Ad B'Layla Zeh, when a person eats on this night, he has to sit in a leaning position, demonstrating that he is free right now. Not that our forefathers were freed, but we are becoming free. For men, this is an absolute chiyuv. For women, there are different opinions, and everyone should follow whatever their family custom is in this. But the notion of eating at the Seder, derech cheirus, kulanim besubin, sets the tone and creates the proper imagery of what the Lel HaSeder is all about. And therefore, v'chol echad v'yechad ben anoshim, both men and women, chayev lishtos b'layla zah b'keisah shel yayin. And you have to drink 4 cups of wine, or grape juice, depending on what the details are, for a particular shayla and halacha. And then the Rambam just adds on an important message, particularly for this year, one cannot have less than the 4 cups. V'afil aniyam mispanis ben tzedakah, even someone who is poor and has to receive tzedakah funds, each one, even the poorest members of the Jewish community, have to partake in the Dalak Kaisis, which means that it's a chof kadosh, it is an obligation upon each and every community to make sure that everybody is provided for properly. I have to give an unbelievable, just as an aside, an unbelievable yashkach to everybody in this community who have risen to heights, unprecedented heights of chesed, of tzedakah over these last couple of days and weeks. We know that, Baruch Hashem, we've had the opportunity over all the years of the shul to help out some people in the community, some people out of the community, some people in Eretz Yisrael, in terms of different tzedakah funds and that we make during the year, whether it's Matanas of Yonim Purim, Tarma of Schitim. And Baruch Hashem, people have opened up their hearts in ways that are just beyond description. Ashreichem Yisrael, who understand that tzedakah is such a major component of Avinu Nesroah Gezerah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu should continue to see our chesed, and tzedakah doesn't only mean money. Tzedakah can express itself in chesed, whether it's the going for the shopping for the person who is not quarantined, who cannot get out, whether it's the providing help over the phone, whether it's the providing the chizuk, whether it's the bikkur cholim over the phone, or nebuchadnezzar l'tzlan the nicham avelim over the phone. But in the spirit of Pesach, so Kadosh Baruch Hu looks very much to see that making sure we're taking care of each other. So we have a Kadosh Baruch Hu who is the Hoya, Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Hove. We are required to become the Hoya, we are required to become the Hove as well. Living in the present is not just limited to Pesach night, but it actually sets the tone for our entire Vedas Hashem. If you take a look at the fifth of the Marmikomos, fifth of the sources, it's a famous pasuk we say multiple times a day in Kriyash Vashanochi Mitzav Chayom, the Divrei Torah, or given to us today. Rashi quotes from Chazal, Lo Yube Nechid Kidiyukdima Yishana. Shein Adam Saifna. You shouldn't view the words of Torah as an old letter. Yeah, I read that one already. There's an old email. I already read it 5 times over. No. Eliki Chadosha, it's a fresh hot off the presses. The words of Torah are something that's new. Shekel ruts in the crosser. People run. And Rashi says, Diukdama means mitzvah samelech abob b'michtov. When the king sends a letter, back to the days, remember Megillah Esther, not that long ago. We read about all the letters that were sent by Achashverosh. We can imagine the excitement in town where the royal messengers come in. They come riding the horses. Hear ye, we have a word from the king. And everybody comes to the village square. What does the king have to say? Says Rashi, that's how we have to approach the words of Torah. When we open up a chumash, when we attend the shir, when we say a perek of Tehillim, whatever shape or form our divrei Torah expresses itself, it's something that's new, it's something that's exciting, it's something that's fresh. Because after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this gift of divrei Torah, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, everything is new and fresh. Everything is hove, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is taking place. And Torah is happening now, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vantage point. And guess what? Matan Torah is happening now from our vantage point as well. As we sit around, each one on our computers and our phones, listening to words of Torah, we are commemorating Matan Torah. We are living the words of Kabbalah Satorah. Not something that happened 3,000 plus years ago in Har Sinai, but something that's taking place in front of our very eyes. And it is this message of Hoveh, everything has to be new and fresh, that sets the tone for how we relate to the second gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us upon leaving Mitzrayim. There were actually two different reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. One was to give us the Torah, and one was to give us Eretz Yisrael. And both the Torahs we saw a moment ago is a Dovah Chodash, something new. The same is true about Eretz Yisrael. We take a look at the sixth of the Marmakomo, sixth of the sources. When the person brings Bikurim, brings his first fruit every year to the Kohen, Ubasa LaKohen HaShiyeh B'Yom Mahim, you bring the basket of fruit to the Kohen in those days, and you say to him, I hereby declare to Hashem, I just arrived in Eretz Yisrael. I arrived in the land, the promised land that Hashem promised to our forefathers. And that is the declaration of the farmer, and that is actually the declaration of each and every one of us on Pesach night, because we actually repeat those words. The farmer now does Mikra Bikurim. He recites the parash of Arami Ovidavi, where he reviews Jewish history, and he goes back to the days of the Ovis, and through the days of the exile of Mitzrayim, and through the redemption from Mitzrayim. And those identical words that are recited by each and every Jew at the Lev HaSeda, Arami Ovidavi V'yer Mitzrayim. And the Torah says, Higalati Hayom, these are words that we say now. We are reading history, but we are not reading it as a thing of the past. We are living history. That's what it means to be a Hoya and a Hoveh. I remember I still hear the words ringing out in my ears from Rosh Hashiva and Kerbi Avner, Rabbi Govach Zatzal, who very often we would quote this pasuk. He would say, Higadati Hayoyim Hashem Elokecha, I'm coming to Eretz Yisrael today. And he would say with a little bit of a chuckle, with a laugh, he would say, Ma, I'll say it first in Hebrew, I'll translate it and say, Matomia, what are you saying? What does the farmer mean? Atakva Dor Shvi Rishalmi, you're already a seventh generation Yushalaya man. You're a Rishalmi for seven generations. Who are you joking? What do you mean? Ata Olech Hadash? You just got off the plane, Nefesh B'Nefesh today. What do you mean? You've been living here for hundreds of years. Lo, Rashi used to say, Higarati Hayoim Hashem Lekecha. Someone who appreciates the gift of Eretz Yisrael understands, Hayom, it's today. It's a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us today, not just something of the past. So the two great gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed upon His beloved people, Torah and Eretz Yisrael, which are the fruits of Yetzias Mitzrayim, were both granted to us with one condition, the condition being appreciate it, love it, and cherish them as if they are something new and fresh, because they are new and they are fresh. Because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Hoveh, and He is giving us these gifts as we speak. And now we move on to the third aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. He is the Hoya, Hoveh V'Yiyeh, Yiyeh in the future. And what does it mean, and what does it mean for us to be somebody who looks to the future? There is a very, very powerful medrash that Rashi quotes in Chumash, a fairly famous medrash. Rashi quotes back in Parshas Truma, in the seventh of the sources. V'yasisas ha-krushim. Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed by Kadosh Baruch Hu to make the krushim, to make the boards of cedar wood to construct the Mishkan. And there was a problem with the phrase V'yasisas ha-krushim he-ha-yidiyah means the known cedar wood. Hey always means in Chumash, in Tanakh, in Mishnah Kodesh, these are the well-known. You know which ones I'm talking about, Moshe. I'm not talking about just wood. I'm talking about very, very specific boards and pieces of wood that you know about. And which one were they? The Rashi says, Hayla Loma V'yasisa Kurashim. The Torah should have said, make wood, make planks of wood. As it says in all other parts of the Mishkan, Mal HaKurashim with the hay, Mi'osan Ha'omdim U'michar Mekach. The Torah is referring specifically to those planks of wood that we know exactly which ones they were. Yaakov Avinu Nota Arazim B'Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu planted cedar trees when he arrived in Mitzrayim. What in the world did Yaakov Avinu have to do with cedar wood? Why in the world? He was not a young man when he arrived in Mitzrayim. He was 130 years old. And the last thing he had to do was to go out the backyard and plant trees. Why in the world did he plant cedar wood? So Yaakov explained to them, "Chshemeis tzivu labanav." Right before he died, he instructed his children, he told his children, look at these trees that I'm planting now. Many, many years down the line, you're going to leave this place, and I want you to remember to take this wood with you. Why? Because he told his children, because there's going to come a time, again, this is hundreds of years later, there's going to come a time when your great-great-great-grandchildren are going to have to build a Mishkan, and they're going to need wood, and I want to know that I planted the trees for that wood. Make sure that wood is ready to be taken when the right time comes. One of the most powerful, one of the most dramatic statements of Chazal. Yaakov Avinu saw to the future. Not only did he see to the future, but he prepared for the future. Because he knew that a great and grandiose future is going to come. And it was this optimism that Yaakov Avinu planted in his children that actually reached fruition at the moment of truth, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And in this particular regard, it was actually the women who excelled even a little bit more than the men in this area. And kept that optimism up and expressed it when the right time came. And two other very, very powerful statements of Chazal that I think really complete the picture of what it means to look and to live in the future. On the eighth of the sources, Vatikach Miriam Hanaviyah Achos Aaron Asatof Biyadah Vateitzenekol Anashim Achareh Besupim V'Mchalos. On the day of Kriyas Yamsuf, on the seventh day of Pesach, Hashem, 2 short weeks from now, Miriam Hanaviyah, Miriam the sister of Aaron, of course the sister of Moshe also, but we'll see in a moment why she was referred to as the sister of Aaron. She took the tambourine in her hand, and all the women joined her with dancing and playing of the instruments and shaking the tambourines, mitzupim u'mechalos, to celebrate the wonderful events of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Rashi quotes a very, very famous question, almost like a logistical question, a technical question. Where in the world did they get tambourines from? They found in the desert. Where in the world did they get tambourines? The answer is they must have taken them with them. They must have taken the instruments with them when they left Mitzrayim. For what purpose? Says Rashi, the ninth of the sources, the Tupu Mecholos, Muftachos Hayutzit Kanya Shebedor, the righteous women of that generation, led by Miriam, had such amun and such bitachon, such faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also lehem nisim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will perform nisim and miracles for them, and they brought out the tambourines because they knew there's going to be time to celebrate in the near future. What Abuna. At a time when everybody was trying to pack up and just get ready and to go and to run away and to leave Shiva Mitzrayim, the righteous women made sure to pack some of the musical instruments because the time of celebration was going to take place right around the corner. That's Abuna. That's Bitochon. That's looking to the future. That's optimism. And this optimism that was led by Miriam Hanavia did not start here, but this was actually, in a sense, a culmination of a lifelong optimism and positive thinking and looking to the future that had expressed themselves when she was a little girl. As Rashi says in the second half of the ninth of the sources, Vatikach Miriam Hanavia. It refers to Miriam as the prophetess. She was a Neviah. But when was she a Neviah? Kishayis Achas Aaron. The Pasuk says she was the sister of Aaron and she was prophesizing. That refers to the fact, Kodim Shalom Maisha. Maisha wasn't even born yet. She was already a Neviah. If you make the calculation, how old was she? Maybe 5 years old, maybe 6 years old, maybe a young little girl. And she was already prophesizing. What was she prophesizing? Amr, she said, Asida Imi Shetelebein. She said that my mother is going to have another son, and that son is going to be the one who is going to take us out of Mitzrayim. And Chazal actually tell us that she even convinced her own parents as a young girl, her own parents who had so despaired and had actually separated from one another, not wanting to bring any more children into the world. It was actually Miriam who saw past the tzara and actually convinced her own parents to reunite, and from that quote-unquote remarriage, Moshe Rabbeinu was born. That's what it means to look to the future. When all is bleak, we look to the future. As the Yetzias Mitzrayim is happening, we don't forget there's going to be nisim and neflaos that are going to warrant great and grandiose celebrations in the future. Miriam Hanavia learned very well the lessons of her great-great-great-grandfather, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu planted the trees for the future. Miriam Hanavia prophesied for the future and prepared for the celebrations of the future. And this has always been the hallmark of the Jewish people, to be able to look to the future, to look past the immediate present, which sometimes is so bleak. And to be able to see there will be a year, there will be a future. And it's really these three messages that make up our celebration of Pesach. We sit down on Pesach night, reliving the past, we put ourselves back in Mitzrayim, we instill and celebrate the present, and we look with an eye to the future, to the Geula Shleima as well. We are very much in the month of Geula right now. We are well into Chodesh Nisan. We're at a time of redemption. Geula means so many different things. Geula means Geula Mitzaras, and Geula means Geula from Golos and from Shibud and all the Tzaras of this world. At a time when we desperately, we and all of Klai Yisrael, the entire world, needs a Geula. The Geula's there. It's right around the corner. Yeshua Sashem Keref Ayin. We have to follow in the footsteps of Yaakov Avinu and Miriam Hanavia to be able to hope and pray to see that day, Bekarov. We should all be Zocha to, just as we say, B'Nisan Nigalo, in the month of Nisan, the Jewish people were redeemed. B'Nisan Asitim Nigal, in the month of Nisan, the ultimate redemption will come as well. We hope and pray that this Nisan should be that Nisan, a month of Geula Shleima from Harvey Amen. Amen. Wishing everybody a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. I don't know whether we'll have a formal time to speak again before Yom Tov. I'm sure there'll be informal times. People, please feel free to call any last-minute shaylas or any last-minute advice or anything, whatever we could possibly help with, or just if there's any needs that come up, please feel free to reach out to me. But at least in the formal setting, so we'll wish everyone a chakosh and a semech. And please continue to be mechazik yourselves and your family. Continue to do everything that's necessary in terms of preserving one's health. Chai b'hem is the absolute Torah requirement. That's the mitzvah sayom, so to speak. And please just keep up. And everyone is trying so hard. Keep up for yourselves and for your children, for your family, for your parents, grandparents, whoever. For all of us. Just keep on being careful and keep on being mechazik each other. Keep up the tehillim, keep up the davening. And keep on b'yat Hashem, this chus of all, this chus of the nashim tikkanios, who I know are working very, very hard under the most difficult circumstances to get ready for Zman Chir Hussein, of Yibrachu Yimali, Zcharchem, and Yibrachu should watch over all of us. And once again, as we said, we should be zeicha to the Geula Shleim, Rehavi Amen. Amen. I hope you should be well. Have a good night.
Thank you.